just weather conditions. But keep tuned in here.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. We're honored to be with you this afternoon. This is our program called Raising the Standard. We've been on for a long time. This is Pastor Gene and Pastor Donna Hilton from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and we welcome you to our program on another Saturday. And we got this storm coming in, and also we got a lot of things to pray about as a body of Christ, and so people will be safe and all that. So just keep that in mind, that God is our source, and He can speak the calm to the storm, can't He?
Amen.
So we have to believe that things will happen as well. So we're honored to be here with you. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. If you can't, we do offer CDs, and all you have to do is send us a love offering for whatever the Lord tells you to do, and we'll be glad to get it out to you. So we're honored to be here with you today. And I want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey Walks on Andros Island. They're preparing right now. That storm's coming over them. And I know Roscoe, he's an incredible builder, and I believe that that building he's put up is going to withstand all things. The last one they had come through, a lot of the buildings were wiped out over there, and all I had was left was a slab, but their house had no, hear that, N-O, no damage whatsoever, because it was built the right way. So we have to believe and trust that for them as well. So we'll keep them in prayer. Amen.
Amen. And how many do you know? How many people believe that you can speak to the storm?
That's right.
Didn't Jesus speak to the storm?
He sure did.
And didn't it obey?
Yes,
sure
it did.
And I think there's a lot of people who are praying the same way, the right way, praying mm-hmm. that this storm will dissipate and go out. Just dissipate. Amen.
Yes.
Just like you were going to just smash a rock. We just smash this with the rock of Jesus, the rock
right.
of the Lord. I just wanted to mention... We are going to pray for the storm. We're going to pray for Roscoe and Audrey, because it's they say it's going right by their house, and they're building the temple of God, and actually yeah. the roof is going on. So if you would like to help out with the roof, put the roof on the temple of God. That's the name of this the church that Roscoe and Audrey Walks have on Andros Island, called
the Bahamas,
Temple of God right? in the Bahamas. And so the roof is going on. Praise God. And they live on Conch Sound. And they blow the conch horn as a shofar.
Yeah, they drill a hole in it, and it sounds just like a shofar.
Amen. And Margie has a shofar here, and we're going to blow the shofar here in a minute, too, especially when we start to pray for this storm. Amen. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to mention, I always look up names. You know, Pastor Gene's talked many times about how important names are in the Bible. Well, other people, and people, when people name their babies, they should think about what name they're going to give them, what God would have them to give. Because God can give you a name. God gave me a name for my granddaughter. It's mm-hmm. one of her names, and it I believe, because God says she was a flower in God's garden, and He gave me that word, and I knew it was a girl, even months before the baby was born. But the name of this storm, we all know, is what?
Dorian.
Yes. Dorian. Well, it happens to be a Greek word. The origin is from is Greek, and you know, I believe that, and other people believe this, that this, you know, there are man-made storms. And if this is, it comes from the enemy. This storm is from the enemy. And it's like a water spirit. It's like a water spirit. And this name means gift. Well, what kind of a gift is that?
Yeah.
God doesn't give gifts like that. Only the enemy does. And, you know, there's people praying that this storm will come in and hit in West Palm Beach because our president has a home there.
Yeah. Hating that much. How wicked can you be?
How wicked can you be?
That's right.
Well, God, we have more power than the enemy, than the devil, or any of the devil's workers, don't we? And we can speak to this storm, and we can tell it to...
calm.
What did Jesus tell the storm to do?
Be still.
Peace be still.
Peace be still.
So we don't have to yell and rant and rave. We just hold our hands out towards the water, and we say, peace be still. And let it go back to the enemy. In Jesus' name, peace be still. So if you start to feel anxious or you're worried about things at your house or food or water or anything, speak to the storm. Peace be still. And the glory of the Lord will calm you down, and it will help you to get through anything. Because this storm, what they say, isn't necessarily what's going to happen. Amen. God has the last say.
Amen.
So, I don't know if I should even mention the name of the woman.
Don't mention it. Nope. Don't give her credit for anything.
But she is a, what would you say, a well-known person? Very well-known person? Well, Lord, you know what? When you put curses on people, what happens?
It's going to come back.
It will come back.
Sure will.
It will come back. So be careful how you speak and how you pray. Amen.
No curses on anybody.
Good to see Dale on the line. Praise the Lord. Okay, Pastor Gene, I'll give our telephone number.
Okay.
It's area code 772-285-7007. Amen. So glory to God.
Amen.
And we have some people here with us, Margie and Bob and my husband and myself and Melanie. Praise God. Amen. So Pastor Gene's going to teach us about...
a little bit about the fivefold ministry.
Fivefold ministry.
But you know, it's interesting when you think about the fivefold ministry, because I was reading here in Ephesians chapter 3 that there was a mystery. And if you want to go with me there real quick before we get to chapter 4, chapter 3, verse 5 is talking about how Paul was sent to the Gentiles to bring salvation. He says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets, by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be what? Fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Amen? And another verse that caught my eye over here in the same chapter 3 is verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Don't you love that?
Yes.
It's interesting that God chose Paul to write the book of Ephesians, and this was a Gentile church to start with, and then he tells you all about fivefold ministry, and we don't see that in anything else in the Bible, do we?
No.
And so chapter 4 is very important. So I thought we'd read some of this and talk about it, and most of the church doesn't believe in fivefold ministry. They think apostles and prophets are been done away with. I can't find a chapter and verse on that, but that's what they think. But when God gives something, he doesn't ever take it away. Did you know that? He'll never take it away. Now, it might go dormant if you don't use it, like the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you don't use it, it can go dormant, but it's still there. But the thing is, God wants us to be used of him, and he's given us all this information for a purpose. And what's the fivefold ministry for? To equip, train, activate, encourage, strengthen. I could go on and on. The body of Christ. And so here Paul was relating all this with a Gentile church. It's really amazing. So let's start in verse 1. And Melanie's going to have some things here from verse 1 she shared a while ago when she talks. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. And here's the key verse too. Endeavoring to do what? To keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we all different denominations have different thoughts and all that. We know that. And different things that they spend time on and in their doctrines. But the thing is, if we can do all that and still have the unity in the Spirit and have the bond of peace with it. And then he goes into this. There's one. You look at all the ones we're going to read about here. There's one body. That's the first one. One Spirit, even as you're called in the hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given what? But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So there's five ones in there, okay? And that's God's number for what? For grace.
Amen.
So I think pretty interesting picture here. Now, let's look at this now. Verse 8, wherefore he saith, I'm looking at the verse after that. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led what? Captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now think about it. Before we got saved, we were held captive by who? By the enemy.
The devil.
And so when Christ came into our life, that captivity was broken, and now we're captive to who? We belong to the Messiah. When he ascended up on high, this is when he died, he led what? The people that were being held captive by the enemy, captive, he took them, and then he gave gifts unto men. What were the gifts for? To teach, train, and activate us to walk in the fullness of what God wanted him to know, not only the Jews, but the Gentiles. And then verse 9 says, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first also into the lower parts of the earth? We know he died and he went to a place called hell, didn't he? And he was there for 3 days and three nights, and then he emptied that place out of the righteous believers. The bodies are still in the grave, but their spirits and souls went to be with the Lord when he came out of the grave. So then verse 10 says, he that descended is the same also that ascended. It's the same person, right? Yeshua. Up before above all heavens, that he might what? Fill all things. He's going to fulfill everything. Now here's where we get into the good part. And then he says he gave some. You notice it says some, it doesn't say all. He gave some what? Apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, some people believe we have a fourfold ministry here instead of five, because if you look up the Greek word for pastors and teachers, it's one word. So if you're going to be a pastor, you have to be a teacher. But they always broke it up. But I believe that there's people that are called, maybe not to be a pastor, but they're teachers. And so it's five. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's an interesting thought. Now keep your finger there and go back over to 1 Corinthians with me for a moment. I want to show you something here. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
I think it's in chapter 12, if I'm right. Yeah, it's in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. It goes right along what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't mean, not everybody's an apostle, not everybody's a prophet. Just because you prophesy doesn't make you a prophet, but we can all prophesy. And not everybody, I should say, are evangelists, but we can function in that realm, can't we? And then there's some people that are truly pastors and teachers. I think about Jonathan, our manager of the station. If I ever saw a pastor that loves people and loves to pastor, it's Jonathan McLean.
Amen.
He loves doing that with the people. So if you look at chapter 12, look at verse 28. I'm going to start in verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now look at the order that God puts in here. Now I want to mention this before we do this. We're going to find out that Jesus, why he gave gifts, right over here in chapter 4. By his Spirit, he called you to be an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, whatever the call is. But we're talking about fivefold ministry. So you don't just go out one day and get out of bed and say, well, I'm going to be an apostle. You better know that you heard from God. Now, when Don and I received all this, we had a prophetic word spoken over us by a powerful man of God that we're still involved with, and he saw the call in our lives, and so then we took it from there and we ran with it, and we have had several prophecies given to us to confirm what God gave. We just look at verse 1 again in chapter 4. I therefore, Paul said, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of what? Of the vocation wherewith ye are called. So we're all called, appointed, and anointed to do something in the body of Christ, but it may not be fivefold ministry, right?
Because there's other gifts.
There's other gifts, that's right. So anyway, but Jesus gave the gift. He's the one that picked those people to walk and function in those five offices as well. So we go over to chapter 12 now, and then we find out that once Jesus calls, then who puts them in place in the church? It says God does. Look at verse 28. And God set some in the church. Now look what he says here. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, what? Miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
The order that it is? That's God's order, okay? So we see that's why it says over in Ephesians chapter 2 over there that God established the early church, what? On the foundation of Christ Jesus, and then he used what? Apostles and prophets to lay that cornerstone in the people's lives to know that Yeshua is the one that's going to control everything. So this is interesting when we see this. So first of all, we see the apostles mentioned here, and it's the same order that we see over here in chapter 4, verse 11. He gave some, what, apostles and prophets, and then you notice the evangelist is not mentioned, and the pastor teacher is not mentioned over here. So the most important call in fivefold ministry is what? The apostle, the prophet, and the teachers, and then with those in place, what happens? Then the miracles came, gifts of healing, helps, governments, and then at the end, he even talks about different diversities of tongues as well. And then he says, are all apostles? The answer is what? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. But we can all function from time to time. God could use us, couldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. Now, this might be taken out of context, too. Do all speak with tongues? The church we were in Fort Lauderdale, whenever we had a prophetic word come forth down there, in tongues and interpretation, our pastor had a man on the stage that was able to interpret multiple tongues. He would always pause after the word went out. He says, Pastor, do you agree with this interpretation that's being said? And if he said yes, it was okay, all right? And so that's called the what? The gift of tongues, where you can interpret those tongues. And then verse 31 is key. But covet earnestly. You notice it says to covet. This is the only thing that the Bible tells us to covet. The best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Well, what would be a best gift?
What is needed.
Whatever's needed at the time, that's the best gift, okay? So we see here that God puts them in place. Jesus calls them, and then the God the Father sets them in the church the way he wants. But you have to know that you've been called, appointed, and anointed mm-hmm. for a particular office.
Yes.
And if you try to function out of that, well, you'll be a failure. You won't be able to accomplish what God wants you to do. So we have to know that we're called. Amen?
Amen.
All right, we read that. Now then, what was the purpose of this fivefold ministry as we read over here in chapter 4 of Ephesians? Let's look starting in verse 12 now. What's it all for? For what? The perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, I'm going to make a statement right here. Somebody may not like this on listening, but it's a fact. If you don't have a dimension from all five of these offices in your life as a Christian, you will not grow up and truly mature the way you should. Now, we might be in a church. We may not have fivefold ministry there. We've been blessed over the years. We've been in places where they had fivefold ministry. But the thing is, if you don't have them, what do? You can invite them in. That function as an apostle or a prophet or evangelist. Invite them in and let them disseminate the word that God's given them into the congregation that they might receive what God has for them. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to remember, amen? Mm-hmm. Like thinking about the evangelist. What is it? We think today evangelist goes to some church and they have a little revival for 4 or 5 days and people come to the Lord. No, what they should do, they come to the church fivefold minister evangelists. They teach people how to evangelize, mm-hmm. how to go out and win the lost. That's
they
what
should be in the church as well.
That's right, in the church as well. And so the purpose of all of it is what? To perfect the saints for what? For the work of the ministry that Christ has called us to. For the edifying, mm-hmm. see, the edifying or building up of what? Of the body of Christ. Then he goes on, till we all, didn't say some, it says till we all come to what? The unity again, here we go, of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect, or we could say a mature man or woman, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then we go on. Listen to this. that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and of cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And we have a lot of that going on in the church today. A lot of different things going on. You know, people want to follow on something that's been done, or they copycat. I can remember a minister up in the South, one of the states in the South. God told him one time to take regular water, fill up water jugs, pray and anoint to the water, and put it on people, and they'd be healed. And he had all kinds of healings in his church. But then all the other pastors started to copy that. See, God doesn't need a copycat. He tells you to do something, you do it. It doesn't mean that you're going to do the same thing. But that's what we have. And also, we get carried by all these different doctrines that people are teaching on, you know. There was a guy on TBN years ago that we used to listen to, and he was really good. He didn't believe in the Trinity of God. He didn't believe that God, there was three elements of the Son, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, they finally took him off the air. We have a lot of things like this, you know. And so we have these doctrines that are being put out that many times are contrary to what the Word of God says. And so we got to understand that God has a purpose for every church. They all have a call and a purpose in their community, so he can touch all the people that are in that area. So we have to continue to pray for one another, and mainly is to remain in the unity in the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's so important, of having that peace. You know, we can disagree without being disagreeable, can't we?
Yes.
That's the hard part, to disagree without being disagreeable. Or we just sever a relationship completely because maybe they don't believe exactly the way we do. Well, we don't want to do that. Amen?
Amen.
If we can just stay together and continue with what God's saying, well, eventually the truth will come out, and maybe it'll all be joined back to the place where God wants it. Unity, one. Oneness in the body. And then look at verse 15. He said, I like the buts. But speaking the truth, what? In love.
In love.
We need the truth and nothing but the truth. So what is the truth? This book we have right here. Remember when Jesus stood before Pilate and he was talking to him, and Pilate wanted to know what the truth was? I often wondered about that. The truth was standing there right in front of him, but he wouldn't listen to him, you know?
Yes.
We want to speak the truth, always in love. No anguish, no bitterness about anything because someone disagrees. That they may grow up, what? Into him, this is Yeshua, in all things, which is the head. Who's that? Christ. He's the head of the church. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Well, that's a major verse, isn't it?
Yeah.
You could teach 10 messages out of that one verse. He says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the what? The blindness of their heart. Or it could even be the hardness. Who being past feeling have given themselves, over to lasciviousness, wicked stuff, sexually, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. And so he is the truth. That ye put off concerning what? The former conversation. That doesn't mean just your talk, but your whole conduct of your life. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's a powerful verse, isn't it? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, because we're talking about fivefold, let's go back over to Ephesians chapter 2 now. So we've got to remember that he was talking to a Gentile church here, okay? I'm going to start in verse 12. That at that time you were, talking about the Gentiles, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, who are those? Those are the Gentiles, are made nigh, how? By the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both, We got two things, don't we? Two groups, Gentile and Jew, have both one and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the Torah and all the commandments, all the legalistic things contained in ordinances, for to make himself of twain, it means two, one new man, so making peace, that ye might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by, here it is, by one Spirit into the Father, in Jew and Gentile. Now here's some key verses here talking about the fivefold ministry. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, talking about to the Gentiles, but fellow citizens with the saints. See, Paul calls the saints here, he's talking about the Jews being the saints, and of the household of God. Now listen to this, and are built upon the foundation, here we go, fivefold ministry, of what? The apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God, how? Through the Spirit. I mean, it's incredible when you think about what God did with all this. And it's interesting to me, as I think about all of it, that God gave this. He didn't send it, I mean, this wasn't given to just to the Jews, but he intended this for the Gentiles to understand all this so they could bring the body of Christ together. So chapter 4 is very important.
Yes.
And it's a shame that a lot of the church don't believe in fivefold. They believe all the apostles and prophets are done away with. But I have never found a chapter and verse, that, unless they twist it, to show that apostles and prophets are done away with. They're still here. So I think about years ago, I always compare fivefold ministry with a car. If it would run on five cylinders, which they won't, but if it did, what happened? The Gentiles got involved, and what did they do? First thing, they pulled off two spark plugs. They took the apostle and prophet out of the completely. So all we had left then was evangelist, pastor, and teacher. So the church said, well, we don't want evangelist to be the head of the church. So let's give it to a pastor teacher. And so everybody that stands behind a pulpit is a pastor teacher. I preach, but I'm not, my fivefold call is not to be a pastor, but I can function in that. In the fivefold ministry, if you're in fivefold, you can cross-pollinate and you can fill in positions that need to be filled in different offices because you're a fivefold ministry. Bishop Hammond, our bishop with Christian International Ministries, years ago, he's been a prophet for years. One year he was called out and with a presbytery and told him that he was going to become now an apostle to the prophets to bring unity to the body of Christ. And so now he's got that call on his life as well. And so it's important to keep all that in mind as well. And so they took those two wires off. And so how would an engine run if it could only have three? It may not even start. And that's where the church had been running for years. Well, finally we come to the point where we're going to have the fullness of the revelation of the Spirit of God, and all that it's in place, and it has been for a long time. If more and more of the church would just, different churches would get involved with it, we're bringing that slowly back, fivefold ministry. We're seeing more people being talked about being an apostle and a prophet. And it doesn't mean I'm going to pull a card out and say, hey, my name's Gene Hilton, I'm an apostle. That's not what we're talking about. They'll know what your call is by what you're doing.
Amen.
And so slowly they begin to put the two wires back on the engine, and it started to run smooth like it was in the book of Acts. That's what we need to do. So it has to be restored. There has to be a restoration. In fact, I think, I'm thinking about Acts chapter 2. Go there with me for a moment.
Thank you, Lord. And while you're going there, Pastor Gene, I was just thinking about how you were talking about the fivefold, and you look at your hand.
That's right.
You have five fingers. Mm-hmm. Amen. They're all different sizes, and they're all different, touch different places. But like you are, your call is, and I'm just going to tell people because you haven't said anything, you're an apostolic teacher. So an apostolic teacher touches each one of those other, the thumb is would be the apostolic, the apostle. He would touch the prophet and the evangelist and the pastor and the teacher.
Sure.
So they all are, they're related. So you must have an apostle, and you really, and you must have a prophet, because Jesus Christ is the foundation that these two are built upon. and then everything else is added to and built up that way to bring us to that one place. And as you mentioned over there in I know that you read so much in Ephesians chapter 4 about there being that we have to endeavor to keep
the unity
of the Spirit.
That's right.
See, there's many spirits too.
That's right.
But we're talking about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God. We must keep the unity of the Spirit of God. And in the bond of what? Peace. In the bond of peace. See, the Holy Spirit will bring peace. This storm's not bringing any peace, is it?
No.
No, but we can speak to the storm and we can say what? Peace, be still. That's the same thing Jesus said. He spoke to the storm, peace, be still. And as I said earlier, just stretch out your hand towards Florida. If you might be listening somewhere else, and stretch it out and say, peace, be still. Stop that storm. Jesus did it, didn't he?
Yeah.
He's
right.
Given us all power and authority, it says in the Bible. So we must believe also. Must we? On. And then that verse 4 says also, Pastor Gene, it says, there's one body.
What? That's right.
One body. If you're in Christ, you're one body.
That's right.
Now, if there's somebody that's praying against you or speaking curses or speaking things about our president, they're not, and they say they're a Christian, they're not. Because
right.
They're not in agreement with what God says. They're not one body. So we are, if we are believers, we never would speak anything evil or wicked against somebody, would we? No, we speak the truth in love. Amen? So there's one body and one Spirit. God, we're talking about the Spirit of God. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling.
That's right.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism. We're all baptized into Christ, aren't we, if we're believers? And and I love verse 6, because there's one God and Father of all. Who we know who that is, don't we?
That's right.
Amen. And who is above all and through all. And I like this one. He's in us all. He's in you all. Mm-hmm. He's in us all. But unto every one of us given grace according to the measure, what? Of the gift of Christ. So we're talking about Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen?
Right.
Amen.
So he is in us, and we have to be one in him. And so and one in the Spirit of God. Not all these other spirits. There's a lot of spirits out there. And a lot of people don't have a problem with that. They don't even believe that there's other spirits. But there are. And the Bible talks about that. But we must be one in spirit, the Holy Ghost, with the Father and the Son. And it says one God and Father. So Father, he's our Father, amen? So we go to him in prayer, and we have to trust the Lord. Because I like this, I like the other one too, where it says, I can't remember where it's at, but maybe I'll think of it in a minute. But it says that he ascended what? Even a farther above all heavens.
That's right, and principalities.
I mean, the farthest above all heavens, all heavens and all principalities and everywhere. So go ahead, Pastor Gene. I see you're over there. And
it's very important to understand these things.
Yes.
But thinking about these fivefold ministries, and I was talking about how the restoration and all has begun to change. If you look at Acts chapter 3, verse 19, 20, and 21, it says, Peter's preaching here, repent you therefore and be converted that your sins may be what? Blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. When you got saved, you should have got refreshed that day. I hope you did. I did.
Amen.
Now listen, he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, listen to this now, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution, or you could say restoration, of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So he put all this in place, didn't he? He had a purpose for all of it, to show us those things that we need to know about all this. And we do. We're seated. The Bible says here in Ephesians, what? We're seated in heavenly places with him. So we need to look and see what he's doing and tell us what to do down here on earth, right?
Amen. And you know the enemy's at work, because you can see what's happening in the world today, even
sure.
in our nation. Because I think of what it says over here in verse 16 of chapter 2. You read this also, and that he might reconcile both unto God in in one body. Here we are, one body again. What? By the cross. What are they wanting to take down all across America?
Yes. The cross.
The cross. They want to take out the representation of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach.
Right.
They want to remove crosses. They even talk about removing crosses from graves and all these places where there's been a cross that may have been up for 100 years, 200 years. They want to remove anything that has to do with God and with the cross, because the cross, when you look at the cross or you wear a cross, it's not the jewelry, it's what it represents.
That's right. Yes.
It represents Jesus Christ and he's the one who brought us into that we can be one in the Spirit. Amen.
That's right. So it's an amazing thing just to think about how God put all this together for all of us to know what he wants with us. And you know, you think about a lot of churches today, they don't believe in fire. They don't believe in apostles and prophets. So the people are being robbed because, see, we need a dimension from every one of those five offices for us to really grow up and mature, as I mentioned earlier. So the sad thing is that's not being done. So I'm believing that God's going to turn a lot of it around and bring it into place. And I thank God the ministry that we're involved with, part of our covering and all, is a fivefold ministry. And when Bishop calls a couple, he calls not just one person. If they're married, he ordains them both, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. And
he puts them both in place. And so it's good. Like when we got ordained with CI, Bishop had a word for me privately in my personal life and one for Donna. And then he had one as a team and for the church. And so, and that pushed us right out there, and we knew what God was wanting us to do. And so we had to follow after that. So that was, what was he speaking over us? The word of God. He's a prophet, a well-known prophet. For years and years, he's talked to kings and potentates and everybody else around the world. He's talked to so many people. He's led so many people to the Lord. And he reads your mail. We've been in meetings with him.
Amen.
And he'll, with a leadership in a network of churches. And he'll come over and sit down and speak a word over you. And you know what he does every time? He reads your mail. How do you like that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he hasn't opened up your mail, but he reads your mail. And we need to be encouraged from time to time, don't we?
Yes.
We had a situation one time in the church, and we were struggling with it and all that. And I don't need to go into details about it, but it was a real mess. And we were really concerned about it. And so we had a meeting the following week. It happened to be all the churches down here in South Florida that are part of Christian International. And he had a word for us. He says, you haven't done anything wrong. He says, get off of that. Move on. You did nothing wrong. What you did was right. And so that relieved us a lot, because we were questioning whether did we do the right thing or did we not do the right thing. But we did it according to the word of God that we felt. And when we did, we know that God's behind it. If we do it some other way, he's not behind it. So we need the fivefold ministry. We really do.
And, you know, Paul knew all these things. He was
sure.
He's an apostle. Paul was an apostle.
That's right.
And he moved in many of the gifts, didn't
That's right.
he? But when he says down here to endeavoring to keep the unity, that means it could be difficult.
Working.
You have to work hard. You have to work hard to keep the unity of the Spirit. So he's got this word endeavoring, which is a lot of people just kind of overlook that. But that's very important, because if we don't endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, we can allow division to come in.
Yes. Absolutely.
I mean, you may just disagree with one little thing, which may not be anything, which that can cause division in the body of Christ. And that's what the devil wants.
Yes.
He wants to put a splinter in our heart.
He wants to
just a
divide.
Little splinter in our eye or in our, you know, Jesus talked about if you have something in your eye, you know, he talked about that. He just wants to put a little piece of, a little something that's going to hurt. Just a little something that might hurt your feelings or anything, you know, because if we're running on our feelings, then we're not trusted in the Lord at all. We're not. If we're offended or we get hurt because of some little thing, you know, we got to let those things go. We have to endeavor. We have to work hard.
Work at it.
To keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, because when we do that, then we'll have peace.
That's right.
With all
the denominations. Yeah. They just kind of work together. But see, if you're not believing the way they do, well, they won't associate. In fact, they won't even have a minister come in and speak in their pulpit if it's not in their group of people and what they believe. You know, they're not open to receive a cross-pollination from somebody else and what they think. And that's where we make a mistake, because they all have wonderful things to say, you know. And so you kind of, if they're saying things you don't agree with, what do? You throw out the bones and you keep the meat. They've got to have some good things to say, and they always do. So that's what we have. I think about, you know, Sister Bree was just here.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people maybe don't agree with everything that she does. Let me tell you, I mean, she's seen God work in miraculous ways. And so you need to listen to somebody like that, you know. And so I don't know what we'd call her. She's probably more than an evangelist, isn't she? What would you call her?
She's an evangelist. She's a teacher.
She does everything.
She moves in a lot of different gifts.
Sure does. Yeah.
So she may be, you know, an apostolic teacher, and I don't know. But we need to agree with these things. But, you know, you said one thing, though. it has to agree with the word.
That's right.
We're not going to bring somebody in that's going to agree with something that doesn't agree with the
you're
word.
You're absolutely right.
Like, we're not going to bring somebody in there that and teach that's going to teach it's okay to have homosexuality in church.
Right.
We're not going to do that. You have to know those that you bring in. You have to know those that you minister with. That's why it's important to be prepared to know those. And if people aren't prepared, it says don't lay hands on somebody suddenly. But that's talking about putting somebody in place. You don't lay hands on somebody suddenly and put them in a place of authority,
leadership,
because you know you could be getting into a bag of worms, you know, and you could be opening a Satan's door. So for things to come in that's going to hurt people in the church, going to cause division, it's going to cause people to leave. So you know, everything has to be according, line up with God's word. We're not going to invite somebody in that's going to be speaking heresy for sure.
Right.
You know, well, I believe that somebody else might have. A word?
Yeah.
Were you finished there?
Yeah, I was thinking about what you're talking about leadership. You know, it tells us in Timothy that you don't lay hands too soon. But if you look at the context there, he's talking about a fivefold ministry that's been done, caught in some kind of sin that's not proper. And they have to do the right thing. They have to set them aside for a while. And then you don't lay hands on them again and put them back into ministry until you know that they've come through all that. And we don't see that today. I committed adultery. I'm sorry. And get back in the pulpit the next day. No, they need to have someone and a group of people, maybe leaders, to leadership in the church or whatever, to sit down and help bring them through that pain and make sure their heart is in the right place again before you ever put them back in place. And that's what it means by don't put your hands on them too quickly, because you're going to partake of their sin if you do.
And there's discipline, and you're going to bring that sin into the body of Christ, and that's what will cause problems in the church.
That's right. And the other thing I like about those verses you don't hear, you know, when someone has to be rebuked, the person that's failed, maybe they'll call them in privately with a group of elders and try to correct it, which is good. But the Bible there says what? You tell everyone in the church. You openly tell them all what happened so we can all learn and grow and we won't have it happen again. Instead of all the hush-hush and the lies in the background, you know, you hear part of it or you don't get the whole story. And so you have a problem with it. Let them come right out front and bring it out. Mm-hmm. Bring it out. It needs to be told.
And that will cleanse the church.
The church.
And the person can repent in front of the whole body. And,
that's
you know,
right.
And then what? Be restored.
That's right.
Not to be cast out, but to be restored. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Pastor Gene?
I was going to find that verse real quick for you here.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Okay, Pastor Gene.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I think it's in 1 Timothy. Anyway, if you read the scriptures, it tells you to rebuke before all.
Amen.
That doesn't mean all, just the elders. It means everyone that's in that congregation needs to know that there's something wrong that needs to be corrected. And we as fivefold ministers, we have a responsibility, and we'll stand before God if we don't do it. If we know something's going on in the church that's contrary to the word, that's sin, and we allow that to happen, we're going to pay a big price. So we have a responsibility to do what? To correct those things in a loving way. Try to restore those people and bring them in that place. And we do it that way because we could all fail, can't we? So that's what we have to always remember.
So the fivefold ministry is simple: to teach, train, and to activate people into their calling, and
that's
to,
right.
to know their prophetic calling. And people who are listening out there, you say, might say, well, I don't know what I'm called to do. Well, pray.
And
then maybe somebody will speak a word over you, but it's going to agree with what you're feeling in your heart, because you'll have a tug in your heart for something. Maybe somebody's got a tug in their heart to go and minister to people in the hospital, to volunteer. Older, maybe you're retired and you have looking for something to do. You know, maybe there's something that you can do to help people out. Maybe it's going to the library and reading books to children. The right kind of books, amen, and the right kind of people reading books to children, not homosexuals reading or gay people reading books to children. I know I probably am hurting some feelings out there, but you know what? We have to speak the truth in love.
That's right.
And I believe that you have a word for us.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Melanie?
Yes, thank you so much. Oh, that was just so wonderful.
Can I read that verse before you do
that? Absolutely.
I found it.
Please.
It's in 1 Timothy 5. It says this: against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. And see, they're talking about elders. then that sin, them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may what? Fear. But they don't do that in the church today. They want to hide everything. Hmm. We're a body. We're a family. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I just had to get that verse in. We have to correct when we have to.
Hopefully people will come to their own repentance and
I hope so.
And repent and get right with the Lord.
Amen. All right.
Okay. Yes, you have the camera.
Oh, okay.
You.
Oh, I thought Melanie. You were there. Okay.
No, and we are running a little bit, 2 minutes here wrong because I didn't get the clock started right.
All right.
She'll come in. Don't worry.
Okay. Thank you so much. Yes, we're still going to be on Ephesians chapter 4.
That's good.
We're going to still go back to the verse 1, please.
All right.
I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And you see the word beseech, which is meaning I beg you that you walk worthy of the vocation. So here we go. We got a couple things going on. We have to walk worthy. We have a vocation and we are called. Is it just me? No, it's you. It's everyone. We all have a call. We have a vocation. And I want you to notice, please, on the first one part, it says, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. The introduction is Paul saying, who he is. Mm-hmm. He's telling you, I am a prisoner of the Lord. If you be so kind with me, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. by the will of God, that his instruction of himself to be the saints who at Ephesus and are to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Why did I need you to turn there? Here's why. He's inducing himself as what? As an apostle
right.
of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And also, too, now, and then it says, too, in Ephesians 3:1, it reads, for this call I, Paul, the prisoner
right.
of Jesus Christ. So Paul is introducing himself, and he knows who he is.
Hallelujah.
So also it says that, you know, he knows his identity. So, and this comes before walking worthy, the vocation and the call. So it's very important that we, just like Paul, knows our identity in Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, as you're listening to us today, do you know your identity in Christ?
Right.
Can you say who you are in your identity? If not, hold on, because we're going to be revisiting that not only for you, but for all of us. So if you take a close look in Ephesians, what are you going to find? You're going to notice that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, that this is the first time that Paul makes mention of our response to God.
Yeah, it's good.
And that is to walk. That's an action, and it is a response to Christ. So in the first three chapters, you're going to notice that Paul is telling us what God has done for you and for me. And all the spiritual blessings that you have in Christ Jesus. Well, I believe this is so important. And for us, not only that we hear what Paul is saying to the believers, but to actually get into our hearts where it can become our meditation. Before we begin to walk, we must first, like Paul, know who we are in Christ in order to walk worthy of the vocation where you are called. Because if not, then it will be my flesh walking instead of Christ mm-hmm. actively flowing through me to walk worthy.
It's good.
For this, you listening, you may have just come to receive the Lord in your heart. And you may be also one that have known him over 30 years and need to be refreshed in who you are in Christ. You may want to grab a pencil and paper at this time. Because as we go through them, at least write down the scriptures so you can later go over them. And I think we should do this daily because we need to know who we are.
That's right.
Because if we aren't actively knowing who we are, then the world's going to tell us who we are. And then when we walk worthily out, we're going to be walking in the flesh. We will not be walking and having the activation of God walking through us. So in the chapters before chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, it's going to say, one, God has accepted you.
Yeah.
Chapter 1, verse 6, God's redeemed you. chapter 1, verse 7. God has forgiven your sins, chapter 1, verse 7. He has made known to you the mystery of his will in 1, verse 9. And you have been made heirs of God in chapter 1, verse 11. He has sealed you with the Holy Spirit in chapter 1, verse 13. He has made you alive together in Christ, chapter 2, verse 5. He has saved you by grace, chapter 2, verse 5. And he has seated you in heavenly places in Christ in chapter 2, verse 6. And 10, he is working in you to prepare you to accomplish his eternal purposes in chapter 2, verse 10. And he has brought you near by the blood of Jesus Christ in chapter 2, verse 13. And he has reconciled you to God in chapter 2, verse 16. He has given you access by the Spirit to the Father in chapter 2, verse 18. He has made you a fellow citizen of the household of God in chapter 2, verse 19. And he now indwells in you by his Spirit in chapter 2, verse 22.
Well, that's good. You picked out a lot of good things.
Absolutely. And I'm going to tell you why I did that.
That tells you who you are.
And I'm going to tell you why I did this. It's because these first three chapters of Ephesians are very crucial before Paul actively tells us to walk worthy in Christ.
It's good.
And in order to do that, Paul writes us, and he wants to know what God has done for you, in you, and through you. Okay? So we then can be able to walk. And so that's why those first three chapters I went over, that's very important. Because it's so important, because Paul, what is Paul doing here? Paul is laying the groundwork in the first three chapters to let you and me know that who you are in Christ, what God has done for you by Christ, and the power that is available to you through the Holy Spirit. And Christ has given you all the necessary equipment for you to walk worthy.
Yes.
And so I just kind of want to wrap this up real quick. And I want you to know too, listeners, that remember this, we don't initiate. God is the one that initiates our relationship. He's already initiated it. What we do in our places, we respond. We respond, like, for instance, when God first loved us, he first loved us. He goes before us. But it's nothing that we can do. He has already done it for us.
Right.
We have to receive it, and we have to activate in it.
Yes.
So, listeners, I just kind of want to wrap up with this. There's so much more we can say, but I know Marge has something very important she wanted to share. But I just want to leave this with you. I said, because, listeners, you have a call. You have a high call.
Sure do.
You have a vocation, because God has done this even in your, before the foundations of the world. But what I want to leave with you is who you are. You're very special. God loves you.
Certainly does.
And he has died for you. And he shed his blood for you. He has done everything, and he has equipped you. So I do want to say this, when he calls you and you're going to say, I can't do this. Oh, yes, you can.
Yep.
Yes, you can.
You can do all things.
You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you, because he is a call. And do you know what? You have everything you need. And no, you don't need someone to go with you, and you don't need somebody to speak for you, and you don't need that, because he's going to give you the boldness to speak. You got everything. So all I said, it's go. It's go time.
Yeah.
So, you know, go and serve the Lord in the gladness of your heart.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. How about Bob? How about you? I think you have a word for us today.
Oh, there you go. Pastor Gene. It's going back to you, Pastor Gene.
No.
I think, Pastor Gene, you want to say something about that?
Did you have something, Bob?
Bob
sure.
Has something?
Go ahead, Bob.
On the radio, WCNO, last week, I heard... my mind just went blank. The pastor of Church of Open Door.
Okay.
Oh, my great day in the morning. I was just thinking of him a minute ago. I heard him say on the radio that when he first became a believer, he was having a hard time understanding the Bible. And somebody told him to get a Scofield Bible. And he did, and was reading the notes, and the scripture started becoming clear to him. And so I went to as a new believer, a young sailor in the Navy back in the fall of 1967, I went to visit his church, Church of the Open Door, in Los Angeles, which hosts, at that time it hosted Biola College in their facilities. And it was also an unusual because when you walked in and you looked up on the platform, there was a menorah and there were other Jewish things. And they had a Jewish synagogue meeting in their church on Saturdays. Now, I was hoping to see this man. His name is still fled my memory. I am so embarrassed. But I had hoped to speak him, but he was out speaking somewhere else, and so we didn't get to hear him speak. But in the Pastor Gene was talking about the fivefold ministry, and I volunteer at Salvation Army, and I picked up a Scopeville Bible last week, and on the note for the fivefold ministry, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, Scopeville, who wrote this and copyrighted it in 1909, over 100 years ago, says in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 28, the Holy Spirit is seen as endowing the members of the body of Christ with spiritual gifts or enablements for a varied service. Here, certain spirit-endued men, for example, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, are themselves the gifts whom the glorified Christ bestows upon his body, the church. In 1 Corinthians, the gifts are spiritual enablements for specific service. In Ephesians, the gifts are men who have such enablements. The Lord, in bestowing gifted men, determines providentially, see Acts 11, 22 through 26, or directly through the Holy Spirit, Acts 13, 1 and 2, Acts 12, 16 through 7, the places of their service. Some churches need one gift, for example, evangelists. Some churches need rather a pastor or teacher. Absolutely nothing in Christ's service is left to mere human judgment or self-choosing.
Amen.
In Acts 16, 7 and 8, we are told that even an apostle was not permitted to choose his place of service. Paul wanted to go one place, and he was hindered by the Holy Spirit and sent in another place.
Amen. Well, that's good. Thank you so much, Brother Bob. Hallelujah. Well, we've got 1 minute down, so I just want to mention that this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, and we're blessed to be here this Saturday, and we're going to have Margie blow the shofar. Margie, you'll have to give her teaching hopefully next time. Praise God. But we're just blessed to be here. Continue to speak to that storm. Amen. Speak peace. Just like Jesus said, speak peace, storm, be still. Be still. And so we just believe that everyone's going to be safe and sound this weekend, and no harm will come to anyone. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
We just plead the blood of Jesus over this county and this city and wherever this radio broadcast goes. And so we thank you, Lord, for protecting our state, Lord God, and protecting the people of our state. And we just ask that in the name of Jesus. And Miss Margie, would you like to blow the shofar?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. So we say, have a wonderful Shabbat.
Yes.
Say Sabbath peace and Sabbath rest. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, and bless you all in Yeshua's name, Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
We are raising
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.
Thank you.